This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on ordering CDs and printed copies of today's sermon will follow the program. We thank you for worshiping with us today and invite you to join us every week for Sunday worship on this station.
If you are a Christian, what are the challenges for your life in the year 2011? We're going to talk about that in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father in heaven, we pray that as we begin a new year, working in your kingdom, that we may have challenges that are according to your word. Help us, O God, not to just go by our own way, figure, well, it's just some more weeks that we have before us, but rather that we may anticipate the challenges and the opportunities that we will have to reach out with the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who do not know you. And we also pray that we may feed one another if we are in that faith. Hear our prayer that we ask in Jesus' name, and bless us in the worship today. Amen.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou
friends in Christ. The books of 1st and 2nd Timothy have been an inspiration to me throughout my years in the ministry. When I was young, that is 24 years of age and just ordained, an older pastor threw some hard criticism at me. It crushed me. And it caused me to go to another pastor to see what I should do about it. He said, well, the gentleman you visited with is by nature rather critical. I wouldn't let it disturb me too much, but I would want to examine what he said. If you felt that his motive was good, and there was some truth in what he said, then I would listen. But if it got down to the matter of you being young, I would not accept it. Just let it go on. And then he said, you know, it really doesn't matter what he says or anybody else says. It's what the Word of God says. And there you read, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. Youth has nothing to do with it. Well, that was great encouragement, and it caused me to have good warm feelings to this book of 1 Timothy. Now I am older. I am 86 years old, and I don't face a lot of criticism, but sometimes I get the impression that they're thinking, and maybe I'm paranoid here, oh, this old buck, he doesn't realize life has passed him by, that we have to minister differently today than when he was our age, and things have changed a little bit, perhaps even the tone of the message. That I will not accept, because I don't believe age has anything to do with that. The Word of God is a Word of God. We minister differently, of course. Some of our music is different than once it was, and so forth and so on. But the Word itself remains true. I know that, because all through these years I have seen the power of the gospel and have been able to see how lives have been changed when Jesus Christ entered into a person's heart. Whether young or old, Paul gives us three challenges in the first chapter of his second letter of Timothy, which is spoken to all of us today, both young and old. The first bit of challenge is this. I remind you, Timothy, to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you. Now, during these next few weeks, I'm going to spend some time in 2 Timothy. I love that letter. It's the last letter that came from the pen of St. Paul. And I'm going to draw pretty much on the great insights of John Stott, a British biblical scholar who really knows the Scriptures. In his little commentary on this book, John Stott says that Paul got interested in Timothy during his first missionary journey, which caused him to go to Lystra. There he met a family. The mother's name was Eunice. She was a Christian. Grandma was named Lois. She was a Christian. But the dad was a Greek, and he was not a Christian. So spiritually speaking, Timothy came from a divided home. He was trained by his grandma and by his mother, to the point that when Paul came back on his second missionary journey, he wanted to know where Timothy was. And when he met the young man again, and Timothy at that time could have been about 30, he realized how he had grown in the faith. Paul wanted him as a missionary companion. And so, with the permission, I'm sure, of his mother and his grandma, he was ordained, gathered a group of people around him, and they laid their hands on him and set him apart, not elevating him, but set him apart to be a missionary assistant to St. Paul. Now, there were things about Timothy that you could wonder about. From a human point of view, Paul makes it clear, and certainly our friend John Stott brings this out. Timothy was a rather sickly man. Paul talks about his physical ailments. Well, that wouldn't be good, going through a laborious task of being a pastor in those days. Besides that, he was shy. He didn't push himself. He was timid. We might today call him an introvert. So here was Timothy, young in years, frail in physique, and retiring in personality, being called to great responsibilities in the church. It is said in the commentary of Dr. Stott, "If you happen to use some of my thoughts, please bring this one in. If you're speaking to somebody who may just be listening but has some questions about whether he is qualified for the ministry. If you are young, weak, and shy, don't feel God cannot use you in his kingdom work. This letter is written to a lot of timid Timothys." For us, what does it mean when St. Paul says to Timothy that you are to fan the spark that is within you, or the gift of God, which is a gospel that is within you? How do you do that? Well, certainly we would say that if we're going to be one of God's people out there telling the story, we need to live in the Scriptures. It's in the Scriptures that God is going to speak to us, and so St. Paul wants Timothy to know you've got to keep on realizing how important it is to be in contact with God and with the people of God. And then you have to begin to share this Christ. I think for those of us who have been given that challenge, that means that we take somebody who is near and dear to us, someone who we could talk to very easily about his or her relationship to Jesus. Maybe it's a son or a daughter. Maybe it's a father or a mother. To sit down and say, "I want you to know what Jesus has done for me, and I'd like to help you into a relationship with him too." I remember that years ago, we had a program in our church where we sent people out to share the gospel of Christ with others who had visited our church. It was also to help the people learn how to witness. When they went out, they were scared stiff. But if they had a good call, and many of them were wonderful calls, they came back filled with all kinds of enthusiasm. The people were willing to listen. They invited us to come back. And they began to see that they need not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for these people had a need and they let them know it. Come and share it with us. And that built quite a group of people in our church who fanned the flame, and they could tell and do tell it today with great zeal. So that's the first thing. Fan the flame. Do what God is telling you to do. Share the gospel with someone else. Secondly, he says, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in you. Guard the basics of the faith. What are the basics of the faith? Well, let's take a couple of verses. Familiar? We've used them so often. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but of everlasting life. Guard that truth. What does that truth say? That God loves people. He's not out to get them. He doesn't want to destroy them. He loves them. And that's the whole world. That's not just our family or our group of little friends, but people scattered throughout the world, even within our own communities, that we have never thought of telling them about Jesus. And then you go to that one that we use quite often, where Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. That is really being attacked, as we have said so often of late, by our society. They want to have one great world religion where each one can feel comfortable with his own. Live and let live. It sounds awfully nice, but it isn't what the Bible teaches. And God in his word says today through the Apostle Paul, guard what I have given you, the gospel. And that's entrusted to you. You can deny it, but you cannot compromise it. For if you compromise it, Christianity soon no longer is Christianity, but some kind of fancy moralism. But if you keep it, it can mean some suffering. And next week we'll talk a little bit about that. Now, is there to be concerned in the church about this matter of guarding the faith? Is it important that that we know what is going on? Yes, it is. And what is going on is sometimes frightening. I think of our churches, not just one denomination, but many of them. Is it the same church that you meet in the New Testament? I wonder if our educational institutions should not be taken a look at. As a young man, I was sent across the country, past wonderful colleges, but my folks wanted me to go to a Christian college. That college today no longer exists, but another college that bore the name of Christian is right near us. And a chaplain of that school one day said in private, today we have to refer to our colleges as colleges of the church. Now that does not mean that people who go to that college do not hear the story of the Lord Jesus. They do. There is no question about that. They do. But we must also realize that it is not quite the same. Does it need to be the same? Isn't the day different? The message of the cross, the message of the resurrection, has not changed. And while the philosophy and sciences of all kind and languages must be taught with great expertise, and they are in these schools, they must be taught by men and women who trust the Savior and have a burning desire to bring that message to the young people who go there. Now, my friends, tells me that this is hardly possible today because it costs so much money and they have to get money from the government, and this therefore puts them on some reservations. They don't have quite the freedom that once they had. My heart goes out to them. But isn't there something here that we must be aware of? For it is in these denominational schools that we get our pastors and our prominent lay workers, lay leaders, Sunday school teachers, presidents of congregations. And so it's something that we cannot take lightly. Who do we follow? Do we follow the scriptures that tell us here today that we are to guard the deposit that we have been given? What is there? These are big questions that really have to be the topic in Christian circles today. Don't get me wrong. The word is being preached in many of these colleges of the church. And there are young people who are going there and they're growing in the faith. And I believe that there are some who are going there that their lives are turned around. They're converted. The word is being planted, consciously or unconsciously. A few weeks ago, my wife and I listened to the Christmas concert of Concordia College in Moorhead, Minnesota. Marvelous, involving, it seemed, hundreds of young people. What were they doing? They were singing some of the greatest music centered in the birth of Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. Now, those young people had to go to a lot of rehearsals to present a program as they had presented it. That means that those words were not only put into their heads, but I believe in many cases the Holy Spirit used that to move those words from the head to the heart. And who knows what will happen? They were evangelized. That is a great, great truth. So we're thankful. Not all is doom and gloom. But we are to remember that it is a very important thing that in a day where God is being overlooked, just plain overlooked, not simply denied, just not dealt with at all, that we, the Church of Jesus Christ, really fan into flame that gospel, and that we're assured not to be ashamed of that gospel. Paul, in his second letter to Timothy, starts, "To Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord." And that's my benediction to you today. We need his grace. We need his mercy. We need his peace to minister in a strong way for the Savior. Amen.
Savior, like a shepherd, Jesus, thou hast bought us thine wheat.
Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, we thank you that you have given to us this word, a word that encourages and challenges us to keep it, to guard it, and to proclaim it as it is recorded in the scriptures. God, you know, and we experience, that that is a very difficult thing to do in our day. For there is so many voices that say, modify it. Help us to understand, God, that we cannot modify it without changing it. And changing it, the gospel is not what you intended it to be. Make us faithful is our prayer. We also ask your blessings upon those who are sick. We remember those, O God, for whom death draws nigh. Give them the assurance that their gospel is true, and if they are in Christ, they are yours forever. Be with those who surround their beds. Give them comfort to know that this is not the final home, but we wait for a home that is to come. Hear our prayer, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's gospel message will provide a strong foundation for you in the coming week. A number of devoted Christian Crusaders listeners has chosen to include Christian Crusaders in their estate planning. In this way, these donors leave a legacy of faith in Christ that extends far beyond their time on earth. To learn more about including Christian Crusaders in your estate planning, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. Please direct all gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Christian Crusaders publishes a weekly preview of the upcoming program, which you can receive via email. To receive this e-newsletter, please call or visit our website at christiancrusaders.org. You can also join our mailing list to receive a quarterly print newsletter, The Crusader, which contains a special article by Reverend Larson, as well as news about our ministry. If you would like a CD or a printed copy of today's program, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. You may also direct your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, speaker on Christian Crusaders for the past 48 years. Christian Crusaders is now in its 75th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.